Thank you for listening to today's message from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about our church and our ministry, please visit our church website at livingwaterschurchelkriver.org. We pray that you were both blessed and encouraged by today's message.
Open up, if you will, to Hebrews chapter 11. And put your finger in there. And turn also to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, verse 20 and 21. Now when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, "The kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, 'See here or see there,' for indeed the kingdom of God is within you." Repeat that after me. The kingdom of God doesn't come with observation.
The kingdom of God doesn't come with observation.
But the kingdom of God is within me. You know that you're carriers of a kingdom.
Yes.
You're carriers of an expanse. You're carriers of a realm where the king has dominion, where there is a domain by the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he chooses to work that out through you and me. See, I think that when we've talked about your kingdom come, your will be done, we always think of something coming from the external and coming down out of heaven and all of a sudden manifesting in front of us so that we can then become partakers of it. There's a mindset shift that has to happen here to know that you contain the kingdom of God within you, and you release the kingdom of God through your words, through your deeds, through your actions, through your belief systems, through everything that you are as a human being with the authority that you have on planet Earth, that the kingdom of God that is within you gets released through you. Now, the problem is that many times we don't understand. We have a disconnect between the kingdom of God that's in us, in our spirit man, and our soul man. This is where it gets lost, okay? Between our minds, will, and emotions, we don't understand the vastness of the kingdom that's within us. 2011, well, let me just go on here. I'm going to read a scripture that I feel like God dropped into my heart during worship. Let's go over to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out of the place which he would... By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs of with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and from him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed them, that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them, for he has prepared a city for them. He has prepared a city for them. I want to suggest to you that the city that's prepared for you, this city of faith, isn't out there somewhere. It's within you. that the city that Abraham was looking for, the scripture says, had foundations. In fact, it says that they were assured of the promises. Even though they had never experienced the promises, some of them died without ever having received the promises, and yet they were assured of the promises. The manifestations of the promises on your life and on my life aren't dependent on if they manifest in this life. In fact, I have a firm conviction that if I'm only believing for the things that I'm going to see in my life, then my vision is too small. If the only dreams that I have, if the only passion that I have, if the only thing that I'm longing for belongs only in my lifetime, and I haven't even given consideration to my children and their children's children's and their children's children's children, then my vision and my passion, my dream is too small. See, the kingdom of God is more than just my lifespan. The kingdom of God's more than your lifespan. And I refuse to submit to some kind of a theology that says that, you know what, this is all drying up, it's coming to an end. Christians, believers, we've lived our lives that way too long. And we've left our children without an inheritance of the kingdom, of this city whose builder and maker is God, who has foundations, who has an assurance in your heart. See, and we're called not to go back into something that's natural and carnal in belief in our minds, in our system. We've come out of that city. We've come out of a kingdom of darkness. We've been translated into a kingdom of light so that we can live here, so that we can plan here, so that we can build here, so that we can do some things in this city that's going to affect that kingdom. But this city is within you. It's not an external city. It's not an external kingdom. It's a kingdom that God, in his majesty, has somehow, by the cross of Christ, made it possible for this city, for this kingdom, to live inside of you. Amen. And isn't it amazing that because we seek this city, some people are going to say, "You're nuts. Why are you giving yourselves to a city that you can't see? Why are you giving yourselves to a kingdom that just doesn't, you know, it doesn't make sense in this life?" But you know what? Their disfavor is God's favor. It says he is proud. He's not ashamed to call you his children. He's not ashamed to call you his sons and daughters. He's not ashamed because you're seeking a city that is, I'll tell you what, this city, this kingdom has got to influence this city and this kingdom. In 2011, I love seeing where we've been. Sometimes we mistake our future because we don't know where we've been. In 2011, at the beginning of the year, the Lord had spoken that this was that 2011 for us was going to be a year of mindset shifts. Do you remember that word? As I've lived 2011, I have observed my mindset shifting. Many of the things that I once felt, many of the things that I once believed, many of the things that even in my subconscious I gave myself to, and it affected the way I lived my life. Those things have been shifting. I can't explain it. I don't know how. I don't know why, except that God, in his mercy, has shifted some things in the way I see myself, the way I see God, the way I see his kingdom, and the way I see you. And there have been mindset shifts, but I'm not the only one that's had these mindset shifts. I've seen in many of you, I've seen some of you just coming to life. I've seen some of you just starting to live your life differently. I've seen some of you get a hold of this thing called the kingdom of God, this city that's dwelling within, and all of a sudden you're saying, "Whoa, I've got something in me that I can give to those that are in darkness. I've got some light in me that I can pull people from this kingdom and bring them over to this kingdom. I've got a city in me." And I'm seeing that just shift in your hearts and in your minds. I'm not just seeing it in you. I'm seeing it in our city. I'm seeing it in the other pastors. They don't express it the way I do necessarily or the way you do, but they're expressing a mindset shifting that is affecting our city. 2011 was a year where there have been mindset shifts. Mindset, See, our mindsets will limit the kingdom within. Jesus, at one time, he had some scribes and Pharisees that were being critical because his disciples didn't wash their hands. And he looked at him, he said, you know what? By your traditions, by your mindsets, by the things you've given yourself to, you make the word of God of no effect. Do you know how staggering that is? The word of God is the most powerful creative force anywhere, bar none. By his word, he declared, and the heavens and the stars and the moon and the sun, everything in creation was made. Just by his word, he spoke, and dry land appeared out of a nothingness, a vast void. By his word, he sent his son. His word became flesh to redeem man to himself. His word, when Jesus spoke his word, the blind were healed, the lame were made to walk again, the deaf ears were opened. By his word, just an utterance of his word, a whisper of his word. And yet by traditions, by mindsets, by unbelief, by that thing that happens in between our spirit man and the top of our head, we can make the word of God of no effect. There's something, do I want to say this? You sure? There's something more powerful than the word of God when it comes to your life and the release of the kingdom within. That's your belief system. What you believe about God, what you believe about the finished work of the cross, what you believe about God's intention for humankind. See, if you subscribe to a teaching that says man is just utterly, you know, defunct and they're dysfunctional and they're horribly wicked and, yeah, the unregenerated man has issues. But the unregenerated man is still created in the image of God. And the unregenerated man has potential. The unregenerated man has possibilities. When they get rid of this kingdom that's causing death and destruction in their lives and are brought over into this kingdom and they're born again and this kingdom is born anew in their spirit man, all of a sudden they're changed and they have possibility. They have potential. They have an ability to be the creative voice of God in planet Earth. See, we're seeking a city whose builder and maker is God. It's God that's designed this thing. It's God that has called it. You know, it's not like we're trying to devise some kind of a doctrine that empowers men. It's God who has empowered men. It's God who has put this city. It's God who has put this kingdom within you and within me. The limitations, Paul says, you're not limited by me. You're not straitened in me, Paul says. He says, you're straitened by your own affections. In other words, they were probably saying, hey, Paul, you're this apostle guy, and we feel so limited by you. Paul, we feel like you're controlling. And Paul says, no, wait a minute. You got this all wrong. It's not because of me. It's not because of the authority over you that you're limited. You're limited by your own affections, your own loves, your own wants, your own desires. The kingdom of God in you is waiting to get out. It's waiting to explode. It's waiting to be released in you. But it's by your affections, it's by the things that you hold on to that this kingdom is limited. We're seeking a city whose builder and maker is God. How many want to be part of that city? I want to shift to 2012. I believe that this has been a very prophetic service for a reason, because there's something being spoken into the fabric of who we're going to be in 2012. I don't know, do we honor times and seasons? Do we honor 2011? Now there's 2012. And, you know, I'm a guy, I tend to treat Christmas the same as any other day. You know, Easter doesn't have a, in fact, I have a hard time preaching an Easter message. Because I tend to look at every day the same. I want Easter to be every day. You know? Why save it for one day a year, man? I mean, Let's celebrate Easter, you know, 24/7, 365. Let's just do it. A Christmas, you know, just celebrate that once a year. Forget it. But yet there seems to be something that is in the spirit this morning, and there seems to be something where God does honor a new year, where God does want to say, hey, guys, let's take and revisit vision a little bit. Let's revisit focus. Where are we going? What are we doing? Here's the thing that I believe God is speaking for 2012. And it's really built on the foundation of some things that have happened, not just in 2011, but we've got a long history of great things that God has done here. We've had amazing foundation built into the house. 2011, we came into alignment, I believe a greater alignment, with the heart of God in the government of God, so that there's a free flow of heaven to earth. We set Bob and Marcy in as apostolic voices in the house. How many have seen a difference in the house, just in the atmosphere of the house? You know, it's funny. I was talking to Melvin last night, and he said the same thing. He said, ever since we set Bob in, because Bob has an influence. He works with Melvin and Yvonne with the Hispanic Church Luz de Cristo. He says, ever since we've done that, we've just come to a new level. He said a little different than I do. You know, he has a bit of an accent. But he says, we've just come to a new level. We're experiencing things that we haven't experienced before. And you know, what one of the highlights is their Friday night prayer meetings. He says, man, we're just experiencing things at a prayer meeting on Friday night. They're astonishing. You know, if I've seen an area where there's been a real difference in this house, it's been on our Thursday prayer meetings. Things are just kind of fun and happening, and it's not a matter of taking, you know, how many have always hesitated getting into the intercessor mode? Because the intercessor mode means that you go, oh, this is spiritual warfare. I got to buck up. I got to put on my armor, and I got to grit my teeth. Now I'm gonna get this thing drugged through the mud so it comes out the other side where Jesus can somehow wash it off. I mean, he's kind of been asleep up there on the throne, and we've just got this mess that we've got to clean up. I'm going to intercede harder, more thoroughly, more often, and we're just going to get this thing done. I don't know, man, I can't do that. And our intercession has become something just really, really fun. It kind of is approached from the fact that Jesus is sitting on his throne right now. Jesus is ruling and reigning in righteousness. Jesus isn't lost in any of these things. He has a plan. He's got a purpose. Nothing is behind schedule in the economy of God. And we just kind of come together, and we just go, well, Jesus, what's on your heart today? And he'll give us visions, and he'll give us prophetic words, and we'll all express it in different ways. But the key is we align ourselves with what's happening in heaven. And we just become the mouthpiece that releases the kingdom that is within us on earth. And it sure is a lot easier. Is there a place for intercession? Yes, there is. Yes, there is. There are times where we will wrestle with the things, you know, for our kids and for our families. And there are times where I wrestle for the church, for the body here. We have intercessors that wrestle on my behalf, and I'm grateful for that. I really am. But a lot of the wrestling is just recognizing that we have a king in heaven, that we just come into alignment with his heart, with his purpose. Sometimes there's resistance in this realm that we need to break through. So I don't devalue intercessory prayer at all. I'm just saying when we see it from a different place, when we operate out of the kingdom within, then the intercessory prayer becomes more of an alignment than it does a taking something, than a working for something. Because in the kingdom, those things have already been accomplished. It's coming into alignment. 2012, I believe, is going to be a year where we start to see and we start to learn, we start to function in bringing what we're seeing in heaven and bringing it to earth. so that what we're getting over here in this kingdom, we start to find a way to articulate and to demonstrate in this kingdom. Because this is where the battle is at. You and I are invading forces, if you will. You and I are ambassadors of another kingdom that wants to bring light and life into a dark kingdom. And if we're just hanging out over in this kingdom, and if we never find a language, if we never find an articulation, if we never find a way to bring what we have here over there, then we're missing the whole point. You ever seen floaters? You know what floaters are? Floaters? They're people. Yeah, you got a floater. Yeah, I don't know. They can be. Yeah, it is like an eye, a sty in the eye. But really, a floater is somebody who just loves hanging out in the kingdom. I'm a floater. You know how I define work? Well, I've got this big old easy chair at home, and I like to kick that thing back. And I spend a lot of time in that easy chair. Susie's doing dishes. She's vacuuming floors. She's doing all sorts of things. I help out on some of those things, but I'm back in my chair. And the question might be asked, Dave, what are you doing? I'm working. And I am. I am. I am dreaming. I'm pondering. I'm meditating. Kingdom of heaven. Oh, God, what does it look like? What's available to me? Oh, God. You know, and I sit back in my easy chair, sometimes in my office. I kick back, I put my feet up on the desk, and I sit in my office chair, and I close my eyes, and I'm working. Because I'm dreaming. So I'm pondering. I don't want to settle for what we've had. I don't want to settle for what already exists. I don't want to settle for a city that we've lived in, that God's called us to get out of. You've got to let go of one city to come to another city. And I work by being a floater. But the thing that God has challenged me with is that if I don't learn how to bring my heavenly realities, my floaters, if I continue to be so heavenly conscious that I'm no earthly good. We've all heard that, and we all have opinions about that saying, but there's a truth to it. In other words, if I haven't learned how to bring what I'm dreaming about, and I'll tell you what, I got some awesome dreams. I got some exciting dreams. But if I don't learn how to get strategies from heaven to move it from the place of a dream and bring it down so that babies in this kingdom can understand it, then I've missed the point of being a floater. If I can't bring my heavenly realities, my heavenly dreams to earth in a doable fashion, then it becomes, yeah, I get some exhortation out of that, but I believe we've missed a major part of God's heart, which his heart is that all nations, tribes, and tongues will come to him. His heart is that this heaven reality, Jesus prayed it, on earth as it is in heaven. His heart is that we'll get some things from heaven. Man, I love to live in heaven. But we've got to move it to planet earth. What that means for me is that I need to take those heavenly realities and I need to get strategies from heaven on God. Now, how do I do that? How do I minister today of heavenly things, and how do I speak these things in a way that it becomes doable to the people that I'm speaking to? Somehow we've felt like, you know, there's two streams of thoughts. The evangelical world will typically want to do everything on earth in the way of works, and they're kind of scared of this Holy Spirit thing. We can do it ourselves, thank you very much. We just need to be more committed. And God bless them. We need some of that. We need commitment. We charismatics, we tend to be over here and we're just so lost in the ethereal that we never get around to doing the work. Is that true? In most of our lives? Because we don't know how to bring what we're getting in the ethereal and make it work on planet Earth. We just feel more comfortable hanging out over here. In many ways, today's kind of a treat for me because God said that I could just preach from my heart. I mean, just go with it, you know, just find something and go. In the last season in my life, God has been challenging me to be more strategic, to be more purposeful, to be more diligent with getting a vision, finding a way to articulate it, and then release it. That's more work, isn't it? Especially if you're a floater, that's way more work. But the thing of it is, there are people in this house who you've got incredible revelation from God. You've got incredible things inside of you. You've been spending time in the holy place. You've been spending time in the heavenlies, but you haven't learned how to articulate it. You haven't learned how to pass on what you have to the next generations. We haven't learned how to pass it on to our children, much less our children's children. See, us floaters, man, we have a lot of potential, but if that potential remains in heaven, then we've failed Jesus' prayer that says, and on earth as it is in heaven. So there's a place where I believe God wants to bring an anointing to be able to make real the things of heaven. We heard it today, signs, wonders, and miracles, you know, those things are going to happen. But I tell you what, they won't happen. We tend to have this view that the kingdom of God is something external that just kind of happens without us doing anything. And it's like, this pulpit here is an issue in my life. This pulpit keeps me from the people that I love. It's something in between us. This pulpit, and I'm speaking figuratively here, and I can say, well, God, would you just remove that pulpit? God, I want a miracle. I need a miracle. Please remove this pulpit. And the pulpit sits there. And that pulpit can be an issue between you and your wife, you and your husband. It can be an issue between you and another believer. It can be an issue between you and God, that pulpit. I mean, that's a pretty versatile pulpit. The thing of it is, we have a tendency to think that when we want a miracle, that it's like a silver bullet, that God's just going to shoot from heaven and blast that pulpit and get it out of the way. But what I'm finding more and more is that God is saying, okay, you got that pulpit. I'm glad that you saw that there, Dave. Now, here's what I want you to do, Dave. I want to give you some strategy, and I want you to pick up the pulpit and get rid of it. But God, that's a heavy pulpit. How can I pick this pulpit up and get rid of it? I mean, that sin, that thing that's separating me from people, it's just too big. I can't do it. Sometimes God says, Susie, come on up. Oh, God, would you work a miracle? God, would you just bring the silver bullet that blasts this pulpit out of the way? It's too heavy for me. Wow, thank you. By the way, she is one of the silver bullets in my life. Thank you, sweetie. See, we have to get rid of this thought that to have heaven come to earth, that it's all miraculous and it all is dependent on God. See, the kingdom of God is within you. And you need to find a way to get in touch with the kingdom of God that's in you and then find a way to release it in a way that brings deliverance and freedom to people around you, in a way that brings deliverance and freedom to you. And sometimes, especially in my life, it takes help. It takes somebody else that can see the pulpit that's inside of my own belly from a different perspective. They're just strategies that God wants to release so that we can start to see heaven come to earth. See, I want to see signs, wonders, and miracles, but I'll guarantee you this. This sign, wonder, and miracle is never going to happen unless I do my part. The eternal kingdom of God, the miracles, signs, and wonders are never going to be made manifest until we do our part, which is to leave a city that we've been in, to leave what we've been familiar with, and to go someplace where we're absolutely dependent on God. It's called faith. It's called walking, knowing, just not being clueless where you're going. This morning, I was clueless where I was going to go. I thought I knew where I was going. But God kind of changed things. See, that's walking by faith. Faith is a scary deal. It really is. I mean, how do you know if God's going to show up on the other end? But you're a people that are created for faith. You're a people with a kingdom inside, and the only way that kingdom will be released is through faith. By believing, by taking risk. You know what? I've taken risk, and it didn't turn out the way I thought it would. You know, a lot of the major decisions that I've made in my life, I've gone after something that I felt was God. And when I got out there and I'd burned the other ships, all of a sudden the thing that I'm out here looking at isn't God at all. The thing isn't, the thing that he got me to move off a dead center with, but I'm in the plan of God. You can't judge faith by what you see. Faith has a different set of eyes, has a different measuring stick. But I believe that God wants to give us some very solid measurements in 2012 of what it looks like to bring heaven to earth, to release the kingdom that's inside of you. How many want to go on a journey in 2012? You know, normally Bob preaches on the first Sunday, and we both felt that I should preach today. And originally, I thought we were going to do a commissioning service. And we are going to do that one day. We are going to validate the Christ in you, the kingdom that's within. And we as elders are going to line up. We're going to have a fire tunnel where we're going to run everybody through that wants to take part. And we're going to commission you into the Great Commission. We're going to do that. That's in the very near future. I thought it was for today, and it just didn't work. But I do believe that God wanted a prophetic service. God wanted something spoken today that's more than we can understand at this moment. It's bigger than what we can wrap our minds around. But I believe this with it. I believe God wants to give definition to the ethereal. And the definition that he's going to give to the ethereal will always, always, always be contained in his love. It will always be walked out in his love. My faith will never become harsh and ridiculing of somebody else. My faith, my pursuing this kingdom will never be condescending to those that aren't pursuing it the way that I'm pursuing it. The things that we're looking for have got to be encased in the foundation of his love. If we're pursuing this kingdom, if we're pursuing this city, if we're pursuing the release of what's inside and it isn't encased in his love, then you know what? We've missed it. I've spent the last 2 months, every time that I've preached, I've been preaching about the love of God. These three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. I know that that's an emphasis that's going to be an ongoing emphasis of this house. That we will not just love God. Yes, we love God. But we will love people. We will love one another. We will love the lost. I will no longer be critical of President Obama, the homosexual, the gay movement. I don't have time for that stuff. I tell you, what I need is to love them in a way that releases the kingdom of God inside of me into their lives, that brings a breaking free of the bondages that have got them there in the first place. I'm going to quit hacking off the fruit of what's in people's lives, and I'm going to get to the root, which is really just a lack of a revelation of the love of God. At the core of it all, they don't know that God loves them. They don't know that you love them. Your coworker, the person that stands alongside of you that just irritates you, he doesn't know that you love them. Love covers a multitude of sin. You know, what does that mean? Does it mean that, you know, well, somebody sinned against me and therefore I'll just love them and that sin won't be, you know? No, it doesn't mean that at all. They're still accountable for sin. But for my part, I will not allow that sin to draw a wall between me and people. See, it's the love of God that is setting her free. In the name of Jesus, we command the love of God to fill this heart. Yes. We speak to you. We release healing in the name of Jesus. We release healing in the name of Jesus. Just continue to pray there. Rebecca's an amazing girl. Rebecca, she comes to our prayer times, and she's actually been to heaven, and she talks about heaven. She released something so simple and so profound last week in our prayer times here that it was just astounding. But Rebecca has some seizures from time to time, and she just, the love of God is going to set that free. Your love, my love, with somebody who maybe looks a little bit different than us. See, it's the love of God that is going to set people free. This isn't a thing about a bad anybody. This is something about the kingdom of God being released from a people who know how to love and know how to love well. I want those parents, and I want Rebecca, in a place where there is absolute freedom. They are too precious. They're just too precious for an injustice. And really, that's what disease is. That's what sickness is. It's an injustice. It's something that's been inflicted upon mankind because of sin. But how many know that we've got a just God who is about the business of releasing us from the injustices? And you are a people who can bring justice into injustice, because that's the kingdom that you live in. That's the kingdom that's within. Just bless. We bless you. Rebecca, we bless you. In the name of Jesus, we bless you. Spencer and Jerry, we bless you. We bless your family. We bless you. You know, I wish you could have been here last night. The Hispanic church, they did a drama, and they did several snapshots of the ministry of Jesus. And those snapshots were when people were set free. And they did just really a good job. The woman with an issue of blood, you could see that she really had some concerns. And yet when she reached out and touched the hem of Jesus' garment, and she was made whole. The paralytic, the faith of the four friends that took him, they did that. They had Kathy, one of your tables from behind the door. Man, that was their stretcher. And they carried a boy on that and laid him at the feet of Jesus. And I tell you, they just did a wonderful job of portraying the truth of this kingdom that's within you. Jesus just came to demonstrate a kingdom that was possible for mankind to walk in. That's why Jesus referred to himself some 96 times in the New Testament as the Son of Man. Jesus didn't refer to himself as the Son of God. He lived as the Son of God, but he referred to himself as the Son of Man. Why? Because he wanted to demonstrate that there is a kingdom that very shortly was going to be put into the spirit and into the heart and into the very foundation of mankind that was going to be releasable, that was going to turn this world upside down. Jesus didn't come to earth doing something and modeling something that wasn't for the rest of mankind to do. Do we have some pulpits in our way that keep us? Yeah, we do. Probably one of the biggest pulpits in our way is a religious spirit. Traditions. History. Because it didn't work before. Disappointments. But that doesn't minimize the kingdom that's inside. We sing a song here. So heaven meets earth like a sloppy wet kiss. My heart turns violently inside of my chest. I don't have time to maintain these regrets. When I think about how he loves me, how he loves us. Regrets, guilt, shame, that's all way overrated. But this kingdom that's beating violently inside of your chest. Can you sense it? Can you feel it? Take a moment. Get in touch with your spirit, man, right now. Get in touch with the kingdom that's inside of you right now. Allow your mind, your will, your emotions, allow your soul, your precious soul. Your soul isn't bad. Your mind, your will, your emotions, they're not bad. They're necessary. They're a critically important part of releasing the kingdom that's inside. In that kingdom, can you sense the love of God? Can you sense the passion of God? What kind of love is it going to take to set a young lady who is amazing? What kind of love is it going to take to have a Kevin who has been in his wheelchair for, I don't know how many years, 30 years? What kind of love is it going to take to see this heaven come to earth? It's in you. Kingdom doesn't come by observation. It's not an external thing that needs to come down and manifest. There is the glory of God. He is holy. He is awesome. He is apart and separate from everything and anything. And yet in that, he is absolutely contained in everything you are, everything you want to be, this kingdom. I want to see 2012, I want to see a greater manifestation of his kingdom where there's justice and there's righteousness and there's truth, there's holiness, there is absolute love and mercy. I want to see a greater manifestation of this kingdom. And I want to find the strategies. I got to find out, how do I align my life? How do I come into a place where I understand how to bring what's in heaven, what's available, and how do I understand how to bring that into earth? See, there's compassion right now, just lining up. There's compassion. There's just love being lined up right now. This is the body of Christ. This is people who are being moved by the love of God on behalf of people. Let's stand together. This next week, can I just encourage you as the body of Christ to ask God for a revelation of the kingdom that's within? Can I ask you to position your hearts? It may take a fasting. It might take a fasting from the internet. It might take a fasting from television. I don't know what it's going to take. I don't know what kind of things we give ourselves to that keep us from knowing the kingdom within. I don't. You know, legalism will take and lay something out for you, but I'm not going to do that. But what I do want to encourage you is to do what you need to do to ask God to show you how to access the kingdom within. First of all, for your own life, but then for the life of others. Let's lay our hands on our heart, and I'm just going to pray. Father, I am praying for revelation, God, that this is really a step beyond our abilities. God, that no more could Abraham populate the nation of Israel than we can do the things that you've called us to do. We're in good company. It is just as impossible for us. But you haven't called us to walk in the possible. You've called us to walk in the impossible. God, that your kingdom supersedes this kingdom. Father, I pray in these days, in this year, and in these months to come, God, I don't know how this is going to work, and I'm thankful I don't. I'm just so glad that I don't. But Lord, I know this, that we want to follow you. God, we want to allow you to change us, so that we can love people with a supernatural ability, with a supernatural kingdom. Father, I want to drive a stake in the ground this morning. And I want to say, for me and my house, we will not settle for the ordinary. We will not settle for business as usual. But God, we will leave that country and we'll go to a city who has sure foundations, who has an assurance in our heart, and God, that has vision that's bigger than our lifetime. Father, I'm asking for an explosion of revelation in our hearts as a people. God, I thank you that you're going to reveal to us normal Christianity. The life that Jesus demonstrated that just spoke of the love of God. That's just normal. We want to come into normality. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody have a sickness in your body? Anybody have anything you want prayer for? We're going to have an altar team up here. I'm going to be the first one in line. I've had a neck that just isn't moving on me. Well, it's just a lot of pain, and I'm going to get prayer. But what I want to do is we're going to open the altar here. But some of you may feel, just to make an altar where you're at, you know, an altar is a place of sacrifice. But we know that sacrifice in the kingdom is really obedience. It's sacrifice that's motivated by the love of God. That removes it out of the place of sacrifice into a place of obedience. And really what I'm asking this morning is that we just step into a place of obedience. We just step into a place that's already provided. It's doable. There might be something just absolutely as spiritual as making an altar right where you're at. It could be going out and having a cup of coffee and loving somebody out there over a cup of coffee. Nothing wrong with that, is there? So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we give you liberty to do the things that you want to do. I want to be changed. God, I want to know how to articulate the kingdom of heaven. God, I want to know how to explain these truths, God, that you've been expanding and exploding in my heart. God, I want to be able to demonstrate, to preach, and to teach, God, the things that you've placed in me. And Father, I pray the same for every man, woman, and child, God, in this house. Bring us to the next level in fulfilling the heart cry of Jesus on earth as it is in heaven. Thank you, Lord. There's a manifestation of the kingdom. There is great joy in heaven. I realize that what I've just preached is a bit, you know, it's a bit weighty. I understand that. And this is good because this brings it back into the context of where it belongs. That the manifestation of the kingdom in you is all about an extreme joy, an extreme gladness. It's not a heavy weight. Okay? Let's give the Lord a cheer. Thank you, Lord. We bless you. We praise you. We worship you. Lord, you're good. You're good. You're good. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's message from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. If you live in or are planning to travel to the Elk River area, we invite you to join us for our Sunday morning worship service at 9:30 a.m. each week. For directions and to learn more about our church, please visit our church website at livingwaterschurchelkriver.org.